Thank you so much, ladies and Charlotte. We appreciate that music. And do come back tonight for the video. I'm sorry, but it's, what, a little over 7 minutes long. And I thought, oh, okay. I do want to preach a little bit. So we'll that way you have to come back tonight and see the video. You'll enjoy it. It's a glimpse into the working with people, with music, and how they work on everything. I don't know. She'll tell you about it tonight, and we'll hear more, so you don't want to miss. So I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're not going to be looking at 1 Peter 5 this morning, children are dismissed. And I'm going to be a little briefer this morning, so that's all right if children go longer than we do. Now, that would be interesting, wouldn't it? And I know you're thinking, yeah, preacher's going to be shorter than usual. That never happens, but it will this morning. So, so we'll get back to 1 Peter, Lord willing, next Sunday as we about wrap up our study in 1 Peter. But this morning, I just want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Let's stand, stretch out a little, and follow along as I read verses 7 and 8 of 1 Thessalonians 2. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart it unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Father, bless now the time remaining in the Word this morning. Speak to our hearts, and may your Word be a blessing. And as a result, may we be a blessing and a light, even as we've already been challenged and encouraged to be a light to a world of darkness, whether it be in Paris, whether it be in London, whether it be in the nation of China, or all around the world, even in our country, our community, our neighborhood. We are to be a city on a hill. We are to be the salt of the earth. Help us to do that, Lord, and help us this morning. Be our teacher, be our guide, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're affectionately desirous of you. When was the last time you were affectionately desirous of someone who had heard the gospel, someone in the church? That was Paul. We were affectionately desirous among you, even as a nurse, like a nursing mother cherishing her children. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, our very souls, because you were dear unto us. Does that describe you? Does that describe our ministry? Does that describe how you did yesterday at work or at home or at the store or wherever we were? Did we impart not the gospel of God only, but our own souls? That's where we need to be. Yes, we need to preach the gospel. We need to take a stand for the truth when so many are not standing but are compromising and falling. We need to have programs, and many of them are good, though sometimes churches can get overextended with their programs. But it's not about the gospel of God only. Get out the gospel? Yes, we must get out the gospel. And we can do far, far more than we're doing. But not the gospel only. There's more to it than that. There's more than preaching and planning and working and organizing and reading and having devotions and studying. There's more than praying. I need to add to that my own soul, imparting my own soul, parting with my own soul, being willing to give up my very life is the idea. Charles Spurgeon once said of his preaching, "After that I have fired off my shot and delivered all my matter, I have often rammed my soul into the gun and fired my heart at the congregation, and the discharge under God won the victory." Boy, this preacher needs that, doesn't he? And you need that as well in dealing with whoever and under whatever circumstances to give not the gospel of God only, but our own souls. When soul goes out to soul, the gospel's going to be more readily accepted because they see in you the love of Jesus Christ. They see a radiance about you, a glow, a love. They say something's different about that guy. Something is unusually different about that girl. And whatever they have, I don't understand it, but I want it, and I don't have it. That's where we need to be. Candle gives light to others by consuming itself. And the more light from the candle, the less candle there is. It's consuming itself. That's what Paul did. He gave everything. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 4, just fairly briefly here. I'd love to read the whole passage of Elisha and the Shunammite woman. But the story is, Elisha was traveling, and there was a well-to-do woman in verse 8 of 2 Kings 4, and she told the prophet, come on in, and she made what came to be known as a prophet's chamber in verse 10, a bed, a stool, a table, a candlestick, and he could come and stay there whenever he went by. Well, he wanted to do something for this wonderful lady, and so ended up that he promised her that she would have a child. So she miraculously gave birth to a child, which she could never have before that time. And, well, wouldn't you know it, the child was out helping his father, and he hit his head, and he died, verses 19 and 20. And so they called for the prophet. Verse 21, she went up, laid him on the bed, and the man of God shut the door upon him and went out, and she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the donkeys, and I may run to the man of God and come again. Well, the man of God, Elisha, comes in verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. In other words, hurry up, get there as fast as you can, and put my staff upon that dead body. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he rose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. And, we were hoping that he gets resurrected, right? He comes back to life. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awaked. In other words, he's still dead, Elisha. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and he shut the door upon them twain, upon them both, and he prayed unto the Lord. Now that is key, prayer. He prayed. He wasn't doing it in his own strength. He was relying on the Lord. Boy, I need that lesson real big time. I need to be praying more than I do. I do so many things without praying about it, to my shame and to the reproach of my Savior. And he prayed unto the Lord because why? He was in the habit of praying. That's why. He was a man of God, as the woman of the Shunammite woman called him. So he prayed to the Lord, verse 34, and he went up and he lay upon the child, and he put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. So he's laying prostrate on this child, hand to hand, eye to eye, and mouth to mouth. And the child is starting to get warm. What does that mean? The blood is beginning to flow. He's coming back to life. And then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro, and he went up and he stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. I want to preach this morning about 7 reasons we need to sneeze. How about that for a sermon? I don't know why he sneezed seven times. Seven is a number of perfection. Life, I don't know, but he sneezed. That's a really interesting comment. And he called Gehazi, and he said, call the Shunammite. And so he called her, and when she was come in, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Wow. What an amazing thing. Elisha didn't just lay his staff, the shepherd's staff, upon the child. That wouldn't work. He gave his life to that child. He gave his soul to that child. And God honored that. Elisha was gripped by the seriousness of the moment, and he bends over this dead corpse with superhuman intensity, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, heart to heart, and through that, he transferred his life into that child. Either he will warm this child, or he will be chilled by its death. Well, the lesson here is, we are dealing with life and death in dealing with people. We've been challenged and encouraged by Christie's testimony of seeking to give life and light to a city, Paris, in darkness. Oh, the city's lit up artificially, but there's no spiritual life or light in that city. But there are pockets of light. There are candles burning like Christie and Miriam and their church and many others. And they're giving of their souls. Christie is one who I can attest gives her very life for the sake of the gospel. She gives everything. And we are dealing with life and death, and we need to give our very souls in our homes. We need to give our souls, our life, in our homes as well. We need to give our soul and our heart to our wife, to our husband, to our children. You know, wives don't just want you to put bread on the table, men. I've learned over the years that what a wife desires more than anything else from her husband is not that he completes the to-do list. She gave up on that a long time ago because it never all gets done. But she wants her husband's heart. If he would just give me his heart, that's the one thing I don't have. He provides a good income. He's a pretty good dad. He's a good husband, but I don't have his heart. And she wants your heart, and the husband wants his wife's heart, and our children want our hearts, parents, don't they? We do all the right things, but give the heart. Why did Paul impart his own soul? He says, because you were dear unto us in 1 Thessalonians 2:8 again. You were dear, you were precious. The word here is loved. It's from the word agape. Agape, you were agapetos. You were beloved, loved of us. He loved them because they were so valuable. They were precious, and there's nothing, nothing more precious than a soul, is there? So are we trying to reach souls for Christ? It begins in our home. Our family members are dear unto us. They're loved by us, no matter how different they are from one another. And they're all different. You know, when our children were born, it's like, we never seen this kind of personality in any of our other kids. What happened? You know, what did we do wrong here? Well, God made them all different. We had to treat them differently. We had to work with them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, has the idea of train up a child in the way he is bent, in the way he is created, and work with him or her in that way. But dear unto us, our people, our church, our people in our church, our fellow church members are dear unto us. We're to be loved by one another. Are your people dear unto you? Are the people of this congregation beloved by you? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul says, I love you more and more and more and more. And yet, I'm loved less and less and less. Or even if I'm loved less and less, I'm still going to love you more. We should never love with the idea of, well, I'll see what I can get out of it. No, we love because Christ loved us. Look at Romans 5. Turn there. And just give me a few more moments here. Romans 5. You know, it's dangerous when the preacher says that. Because you know what that means. Nothing. Romans 5:5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein ye stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Well, anyway, wow. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And he loved us so much, he died for us. I've never died for anybody yet, so what am I complaining about? I just need to give some time and give my heart and give my very soul, my soul. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Verse 22, I made all things to all men, that I might by all means gain some. I made myself a servant. I have a hard time. I don't know about you. I have a hard time making myself to be a servant to those around me, whether they be in church, whether they be downtown McPherson or in my neighborhood or wherever I go, in a restaurant, in the store. Am I trying to be a servant to that person? Hey, preacher, there's some nasty people out there. Yeah, they need Christ. I was a nasty guy one time. I was an alcoholic. I cussed. You've heard it all before. I was a hippie. You know, I was a mess. And God saved me because somebody took time to share with me the gospel. And I need to do that with others. If we're after our own interests, our reputation, or money, or concern about our time, or after numbers, Christ cannot help himself to our lives. Paul knew how to be a doormat without even being bothered by it. That was just his calling. Though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. Natural love expects something in return. Paul didn't care. He just wants to get men and women to God. And that's all he did. God just wants us to serve him by serving others and showing the love of Christ to others. The best way we can do that is befriending them, working with them, loving them, sharing the gospel with them, bringing them to Christ somehow. And God's got to do that work, but he'll use you if you love people. The greatest shall be servant of all. Our Lord washed the disciples' feet. Paul wanted to spend himself at whatever cost, imparting our own soul. If you're still in Romans, look at Romans 8:31, and now I am almost done. I know I shouldn't say that. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He didn't even spare his son, God the Father, dwelling with his son from eternity past, sent his son into this wicked world. What love is that? For you who were an enemy of Jesus Christ. And I complain about people not appreciating me. Well, they just don't appreciate me. They haven't done anything for me. Who cares? What did you do for Jesus Christ? that took him to the cross. Zero. Nothing. And yet he loved you. And I'm going to be willing to impart my soul, my life. It's the idea of being willing to die for others, laying my life down. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Galatians 1:4. And Isaiah 53:12, he hath poured out his soul unto death. Prophecy of Jesus on the cross. He poured out his soul unto death. He imparted his soul, his life. And he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. That's what Christ did. What am I doing for his glory in his name and for the souls of others? Let's be diligent. Let's be fervent about trying to reach one. This week, this month, I can try to reach one. I can befriend one. I can somehow share my testimony, share the gospel with one. I can begin discipling one, having a Bible study. Just one. It begins with one. Christ dealt with one at a time. The woman at the well, Nicodemus, on and on. The disciples, one by one. And he only had 12, and one of them was a traitor. So, one. Make that our goal. May we impart our souls. God help us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time in your word. Thank you again for such a full and blessed morning and being together. And we were able to get a glimpse of a ministry in another country, Lord, that we hear so much about. And yet we're able to look deep inside this country to where Christians are being a light. Help us to be that light in our own neighborhood, our own community, Lord. And we know by your grace and your power and your strength we can. It's not up to us. We must depend on you. So use us, Lord. Bless us. Bless us, we close. In Jesus' name, amen.